Hello there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, July 6th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. I am so excited because my friend and fellow sexologist, the lovely Dr. Kat Van Kirk, returns to play with it. Okay, that sounds dirtier than I planned. Let me rephrase that. Dr. Kat joins us for part two of our conversation about what's happening in the adult and pleasure product marketplace, because this is the Play With It series, don't you know? But wait, you didn't miss part one of this delightful chat, which appeared here last week at this time, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you got to do is use the search function in the header, type in podcast number 287, and presto. But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. Dr. Kat invites you to visit her on her site, aptly named drkat.com. That's drkat.com. You can also find her on Facebook, facebook.com/drkatvk. And don't miss her Twitter feed, at drkatsexchat. Today's podcast is once again brought to you by our good friends at AdultSexToys.com. You'll find all the quality name brands like Fleshlight, Lilo, Tantus, Fun Factory at AdultSexToys.com. But here's the amazing thing about our sponsor. They make you a promise they will not be undersold. That's right, they guarantee the lowest price on the net. And who has money to burn at times like these? Now, isn't this precisely the kind of competitive edge you look for in an online retailer? I know I do. But that's not all. At AdultSexToys.com, you don't pay sales tax. That's right, sex fans. They pay the freaking taxes for you. Still not convinced AdultSexToys.com is the place to shop? Well, how about if I tell you they are currently offering a free shipping promotion and free gifts just for the asking? I'm telling you, people, you can't beat these deals with a stick. Look for their handsome banner in the sidebar of my site and pay them a visit. You'll soon be convinced, as I am, that they are some kind of wonderful. Okay, on with the show. Dr. Kat, thanks for coming back to DrDickSexAdvice.com and for talking to us about sex toys and adult products for the Play With It series.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here and to spread the good word about sex and sex toys.
Yay. I got such great feedback from last week's program. You're so charming and so delightful and so full of really wonderful information. So without further ado, I'd like to pick up exactly where we left off last week. We were talking about the sex toy industry, basically, and you know how you and I and a lot of other sexologists who are interfacing with the industry are inviting and encouraging our constituents to become conscientious green consumers of adult products. So how can we do that? What are some of the good things that we can do to be conscientious consumers?
Sure. You're right. It can be very confusing. We were just talking about the benefit of having thousands of products available to all of us now, right, which is really fantastic, because there is a toy for everyone. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm trying to figure out which one of those toys, number one, might be, you know, provide the right stimulation that we're looking
right
for is one other issue.
Right.
But in addition to that, is if you're really wanting to stay more eco-friendly, how can you figure that out? And there are definitely toys made of different materials out mm-hmm. there which are more body-friendly, more eco-friendly. They tend to be those that are the phthalate-free. They tend to be those that a lot of the glass, all the glass toys tend to be eco-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other materials that, really newer materials that are coming about, even recyclable materials.
Right.
Right, but unless it explicitly says it on the package, you're probably going to want to question it.
Yeah, right. And, you know, one of the things that I've recognized, and you know, I think this is a holdover from the old days, is, you know, that packaging can be really deceiving. And, you know, there isn't anything in place, and I think consumers should know this, that there's nothing in place that is going to protect them. That
mm-hmm.
they have to be the front lines themselves, you know, for protecting
True.
Themselves. And, you know, people say, well, you know, that's a terrible thing, you know, sex toys and blah, 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 it's all about sex. And, you know, it's not, because the same thing is true for food. You know, we take
okay.
our life in our hands, you know, eating spinach or, you know, a hamburger and stuff like that. So even with, you know, a government agency supposed to be protecting us, we still often find ourselves, you know, at sixes and sevens and trying to do this on our own. So beware. And one of the things that I tell my audience is that the best thing to do is smell your toy. And if it has that chemical smell, you might want to use it as a novelty and, you know, wave it around and, you know, scare the cat and stuff like that. But it's probably not a good thing to insert in your body unless you're wrapping it in a condom first.
It's true, I must say, and I'll be the first person to say as well, you know, Adam and Eve definitely still carries a lot of these lower-end toys,
mm-hmm.
and I think that they are broadening their inventory and being more inclusive of more eco-friendly toys.
Yeah.
However, they do still carry those, and the big rationale is for price, to make
right.
it accessible to people
right.
and to keep the cost points down so that people feel like they can not have to invest a whole lot just to try something
right,
out.
Right.
Now, granted, that goes against the whole mindset that all of us would like to have as far as being very conscious and
yeah.
much more educated about what we put in and on our body.
Right.
So, the chemical smell thing, absolutely, that's probably not going to be a toy that you want to spend a whole lot of time with. If you do, I would suggest washing it, obviously, before it gets anywhere near your body, and definitely use some sort of barrier, either a dental dam or a condom with it.
Right. And, you know, they're really porous as well, you know,
yeah.
A lot of those jelly products, for example, and they are not shareable. And one of the joys of sex toys, at least from my point of view, is, you know, when they can be shared. And
right.
And if you can sanitize your toys, you know, by boiling them or in the dishwasher or bleach solution or peroxide or rubbing alcohol, you're going to have a whole lot more fun. But that means that you're going to have to spend a little bit more on your
Correct.
Sex toys. But the same thing is true is, you know, if you want a healthy product, you know, to put on your, you know, cosmetics, for example, or clothing,
True.
You know, that is not going to give you a rash. You know, maybe you're going to spend just a tad more and be happier than, you know, otherwise. One of the things that I was going to say is that I noticed that a lot of people are using online services, you know, the .com places to buy their sex toys, because they're less likely to find, you know, walk out and go downtown, you know, to maybe a seedy neighborhood to a sex emporium to buy their toys.
Right.
So, then we can't really smell the toy, I mean, because the, you know, toy is behind our video screen. Anything, I suggest that people, you know, check out materials of different varieties, and some of the things that you mentioned already, like glass is one of my favorites, and
mm-hmm.
so is silicon. And wood
yeah.
and hard plastics and elastomers and aluminum even. Those things are really fun. And a lot of people say, oh, I never thought of that as a sex toy. But they are.
Right. No, absolutely. There are all these options out there as far as materials are concerned. And we just need to kind of break that cycle of, you know, only having you know, the cheapy options.
Yeah.
And I think the more people,
right.
I even tell people during some of my toy reviews, like, you know, this toy isn't as high a quality, isn't as eco-friendly,
right.
and
right.
you're going to want to wash this first, you're going to, because
yeah.
I feel like that's important information,
yeah.
because I know people are still going to buy those toys
yes.
if they're available.
Yeah.
However, I'm also really trying to get people to interact with a lot of these .com companies who sell toys en masse. That go make sure you're emailing, make sure you are requesting things that are eco-friendly, because until they see some sales or until they hear from you, they don't get the reinforcement they need to change their habits either.
Right. So it's a really good, healthy give and take, it seems to me. And a lot of websites, and I think Adam and Eve also has this, where you could correct me if I'm wrong, there are customer reviews. I mean, people, you know, buy the product and then go back to the site and say, you know, this sucks, this is terrific, you know, buy one of these tomorrow or, you know, stay away. And that's a good thing.
Absolutely. I think it's a really good way to help people gauge what works for some people and what doesn't work for others. And that is the thing, too, also with the cheaper toys, which it's great there's such a variety. But realize, too, like anything, you get what you pay for, and they're not going to last nearly as long either.
Right. So one of the things that I know is that there's this debate going on between rechargeable sex toys and battery-operated sex toys. And I know that batteries are decidedly ungreen, and I suspect that you agree with that. Is there an option, like rechargeable batteries, for example?
Yeah, there are. There's a movement towards that. There are more plug-in toys as well, which tend to be higher quality as far as how they're manufactured and tend to last a little bit longer as well.
More powerful, too.
Yes, and there are even some solar products out there, which is really great. So,
of course, you have to live in Hawaii.
Seattle isn't the best place for that.
Oh, my God, I want to get off. No, it's cloudy, and I'm just going to die.
You can pick
here.
It up to your sad light at home.
but
those are becoming more and more available.
Right. So I know that there's a growing segment of the adult marketplace that is getting really high marks for their greening efforts. There are loads and loads of organic massage oils, body candles, and lubes. This is a trend, I think, not just a fad. Would you agree?
I would agree, and I think it's a part of the overall consciousness that's happening in the industry and people realizing that they want to take care of their bodies inside and out, and realizing they finally have some options. So there are even hemp-based lubes that I've been really impressed with, even some that include some natural oils
and all that kind of stuff. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, really, really a great movement in that.
Yeah. But, you know, the funny thing is that there's still, you know, stuff out there, and I just saw some the other day, personal lubes that, you know, have, like, sugar in it. And, you know, you don't want to be putting sugar in your vagina. Ever.
What was that old Prince song, Sugar Walls? I don't think that's what he meant.
No, I don't think so. So again, you know, being conscientious, being aware, reading the labels. And the interesting thing is that there, you know, the marketplace, at least, you know, the general product marketplace, like cosmetics, they're ahead of us, and you know, they're already, you know, talking about healthy products and, you know, what to look for. And so, I mean, you can learn a lot, you know, from doing some research in your regular, you know, organic store or health food store, and then use those same kind of information when you're searching for adult products.
Yes, yeah, and I think it's all about getting that information and figuring out what works best for you, because even some of the natural stuff individual bodies can have a variety of reactions to, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
We want to
and you know a lot of
how we try things.
Exactly. And a lot of companies are now, you know, packaging small tester size kinds of things. So and I always encourage my audience to, you know, go to a lube company and look for their sample packs, you know, and ask, you know, if you could, you know, buy, you know, a handful of packets and then try them out, and you try them on your, you know, arm if you don't, you know, the inside of your elbow if you want to see if you're going to have an allergic reaction before you, you know, start slathering it on your genitals.
It's true. And you want to also want to be sure you try those products on your toys and make sure those lubes are compatible with the material
so
you're playing
with. Good thinking.
With.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you use a silicon-based lube on a silicon toy, you're going to ruin that silicon toy.
That is true, and that is sad because it's probably not a cheap toy.
That is so true. Oh my goodness.
There's nothing like a little decomposing. You go in there all ready to play with your new silicon toy, and you realize half of it is in a glob at the bottom of your toy box.
Yeah, that's so true. But you know what? Men are absolutely infamous for this is, you know, we use sex toys and then we toss it to the back of the drawer or the back of the closet or under the bed.
That issue has been something I've tried to reiterate to people over and over again. You need to take care of your sex toys. You cannot just use them and leave them on your nightstand or throw them back in the box because they are not going to be ready to roll when you're ready.
It's like, you know, just trying to fish it out from underneath your bed and stuff like that. And
yeah, the dust bunnies that collect around it, it's not pretty.
It's not. And the men's, they're the ones that, you know, and just can't figure that out. But, you know, we're exhausted after, you know, we come.
That's right. You go into that automatic sleep cycle, right?
We do. And it's a genetic thing. And, you know, our sex toys and our women friends want to sit up and talk, and we just want to take a nappy.
Maybe there's an invention there, like a bedside.
That's right.
Like sanitizer
bidet.
For men.
For your sex toy bidet. That's it.
Right.
I've just hit on, you know, a brilliant idea. If someone steals this, I'm going to kill them.
It's $1 million idea.
That's right. So, I always suggest that before one buys an adult product or any product for that matter, one should ask, where does it come from? How did it get here? And where will it go when its useful life is ended? What else should we be considering when we make our purchase?
I think some of the things that we covered, basically your body's potential reaction to whatever materials or ingredients and looking how that might interact with your sex toys as well. As far as the eco-friendliness is concerned, you also might want to consider, you know, in general, reading a lot of the consumer reviews and things, how long have people had certain toys, because there are certain toys where you might get a lifetime of use out of them, and others that even though they're eco-friendly, may not have the lifespan that you would like them to. So doing some research and doing a lot of consumer review reading or video watching, I think, is really helpful.
Yeah. And feedback to companies. You know, companies listen to their customers. They really, really do. I mean, you can write any adult manufacturer, you know, just as Joe Blow, and tell them what you think, and they're going to listen to you. And I've had a huge impact on, you know, and my Dr. Dick review crew had a huge impact on manufacturers. Like we suggested, you know, that's a lovely product, but why this unfriendly packaging?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do that.
Right.
Why not, you know, do something, you know, that is biodegradable? You don't need all this plastic. And, you know, they responded. And it's cheaper, as it turns out. You know, it's like, oh, okay, I can do that. And they're happy to hear.
Yeah, well, absolutely. There's got to be that tipping point, right, of when enough people give enough feedback for companies to change the way that they do business. Because there are bottom lines, and people are trying to do what they think has worked for them to this point, and there has to be enough demand. Yes, absolutely. It has to be enough demand and enough interest for them to really take some initiative and change some things. And so being in contact with whoever you're buying the toys from is really important.
Right. So one final thing about the price business. I think you and I both agree, and we've said this so far, that green products and organic products are generally more expensive. How do we square that with being frugal in these tough economic times?
Right. No, I think that's a really good question. I think it is a matter of if you can, again, get familiar with the products as much as you can ahead of time, so that if you're going to invest some money in them, that you can either go to a freestanding store to touch and feel them, or that you're reading a lot of the reviews about them before you get into bed with that specific toy. I think those are two major things to consider. And for a lot of people, just buying any toy, if it's your first toy, sometimes that can be a little daunting. So there are a lot of consumers out there who just aren't savvy enough yet. And I think buying a toy to kind of, you know, you shouldn't have to beat yourself up over buying a cheap toy. That's not what I'm saying. But if you choose to do that, just realize that when you buy that second toy, there's the opportunity to really get more savvy and to find what works for you in a more eco-friendly fashion.
Well, I always tell people, you know, buy that less expensive toy that is battery operated if you'd like. But you will find that replacing batteries is very expensive, particularly if you use sex toys like a maniac like me. And, you know, you have to budget, a monthly budget for your batteries. And, you know, either that or, you know, switch to rechargeable batteries or consider, you know, saving up your battery money and buying rechargeable. So there you go.
It's true. Or sometimes people tend to let them sit maybe for periods of time, and then by the time they even go to use them, the battery's drained.
Right.
So one way or the other, you've got to figure out a way that you can offset those battery costs.
Do you attend the big industry trade shows like in L.A. and Las Vegas and Berlin?
Gosh, I would love to attend Berlin's. I've attended. sounds great.
Yeah, let's go to the cabaret.
That's right. I have in the past. And I didn't this year. I had kind of a full year, but I have in the past. And that is its own experience, I must say, especially as a female.
Yes. And that's all we're going to say about that, folks.
Yeah. It's interesting walking into probably a convention facility of 10,000 people and being one of only perhaps, I don't know, a handful of women.
Right. Except granted, the ones who are, you know, flashing their tits. You know,
well, exactly. It's funny. I purposely dressed conservatively when I've gone to the AVMs before. And I still had people coming up to take pictures with me because they thought I was a porn star.
Well, I would make that mistake. But then
again, and that's okay.
I know what you look like.
That's not offensive to me.
No,
it was just
so
it was
great.
You know, sociologically it's really interesting that that's the only capacity they could see me there within.
Right. And people come up to me and go, "Are you the dirty old man? Can I take your picture?" Just kidding.
Oh, too funny.
So, just a quick couple of questions. Are more companies going green, and are there any other trends that you're seeing at the shows or from your insider perspective in the industry?
I think they are. I think it tends to be more on a grassroots level.
Right.
So I think there are a lot of smaller companies who have had an easier time going green. I think the larger ones are imminent. But it's going to take more time for that to kind of work its way through.
Mm-hmm. Good. And my last two questions that I ask just about everybody on my shows, who inspires you and who are your sexual heroes, if you have any?
You know, I get inspired by, it's really funny, I don't have like big time, big name people. I get inspired on a daily basis by really...
Me too.
Yeah, really small examples of people who I've seen who've made a real difference in this field or in something related. My husband inspires me. You know, when I talk to other individuals who've, you know, struggled through something, and specifically I'm thinking of I've got a couple friends who really struggle with orientation issues and seeing what they deal with every day, and our clients. Clients are incredibly inspirational to me. So
I
really
look
for the
same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say the same thing because it's when I watch people, you know, try to throw off, you know, what a sex negative culture has put on them for many, many years, you know, and not wanting to sink to the lowest common denominator, want to pump life back into their, you know, the sex life that they used to have with their partner. That's inspirational. That really is.
It is, and it happens almost every day. There's someone I can think of almost on a daily basis who really grabs me like that, and that reminds me why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And hopefully I can reinforce, you know, the good stuff that's out there.
Yeah.
So, because you're an institute person as well, too,
yes.
Right? You went
yes,
to the,
I am.
Okay. So we're alums from the same school.
We went to the same school, carried our lunch and everything.
Right, exactly. I think of there have been several people who've come through that school who, you know, at the very beginning of sexual freedom and the sexual revolution, and I'm thinking of, do you remember Dr. Loretta Heroyan?
Yes, she directed my dissertation along with Wardell Pomeroy and Erwin Haberle.
Oh my goodness!
I know the
trifecta.
Three. I know. I when I stop to think about it now, I just like, oh my God, Loretta was fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
so cutting edge.
Oh, absolutely. So, and this is a woman who really created this almost entire field around childhood sexuality.
That's right.
Correct.
Right.
And
all on her own, basically.
Yeah, and against quite a bit of pushback.
Yes. Oh my God! Yes.
But I was just thinking of her recently, so when I saw your question, like, oh, God, that's who I think of.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking of, you know, there are other people, too, who, you know, Ted McElvenna, who is the president of the Institute Forever, who I think dealt with a lot of BS in order to get that school to where it needed to be. But even today, I love Dr. Marty Klein.
Yes.
I think he's doing fantastic work out there. And then as far as other sexual heroes, you know, I love what Dan Savage is doing
yes.
with the It Gets Better project.
Absolutely.
I love what Lady Gaga is doing around acceptance and social bullying.
Yes.
There are a lot of really great examples yes. right now.
And you, my dear, are one of my heroes. And I am so glad that you are doing what you're doing and how you're doing it and that you're having so much fun. And it's a great inspiration to the rest of us who, you know, try to struggle. And it isn't easy being on the front lines, is it? I mean, there's a lot of people out there who would denigrate what we do and do denigrate what we do and, you know, are likely to take pot shots at us. And but we stand our ground. And when we stand together as and when I can look to somebody like you, I have the confidence and the wherewithal to do what I feel I need to do. So thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you. The feeling is absolutely mutual, and I'm just so pleased that you found me and we got to connect, and it's just nice to feel part of this little sex positive tribe, that there's a bunch of us out there in the world doing what we need to do so that everyone can have a happier, more fulfilling, not just sex life, but obviously improves the health and wellness of everyone all the way around.
Right. And tell Ross to give me a call.
I will.
Big boy.
Maybe when he comes to visit me in Portland, we'll have to do a
trip. I'll take the train down. It's fun.
There you go. I'll let him know you got a little crush. That'll
a man
fancy.
Crush. Yeah. Go. So our time is up again, my dear. Although, as you can see, I could go on and on. Would you give us your website again and walk us around and tell us what we can find there?
Sure. It is drkat.com. That's drkat.com. And you will find on there links to the iTunes video podcast, which, by the way, the video podcast, I don't even think I mentioned the title. The video podcasts are called Daily Sex Tips from Hawaii. And
of course they are,
one
dear.
Right. And they're 1 to 3 minute little yummy bites of sex ed information. So they're really fun, and there will literally be 365 of them. It's a lot of filming, let me tell you.
Really? And outfits and hairdos.
Oh my God! I'm like the number of bikini tops I have to change. Ridiculous. And I don't have a stylist, so let me tell you, I could use some help. But Daily Sex Tips from Hawaii on iTunes, and then the audio podcast, which is a longer format with Ross and I, are they are also at iTunes. But you can find links via my site, and that is Sex Chat with Dr. Kat and Her Gay Boyfriend. And other than that, I got some I've got article archives that I'm updating this in the next week from 10, 13 years plus writing. There are Q&As, there's Facebook, Twitter stuff. So, and occasionally a good martini recipe.
Yes, and I was going to mention that, and time is up, but next time we're going to start out with cocktail hour.
There you go.
Until
that
we
works
talk,
for me.
Until we talk again, Kat, I so appreciate your time. Be well, be happy, and thanks for sending Seattle some sunshine.
Hey, you got it. Thanks so much, Dr. Dick.
Bye now.
Bye.
Another terrific show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week, Monday, for the resumption of the Erotic Mind podcast series and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is AdultSexToys.com. Shopping for sex toys is very personal, and not everyone's tastes are the same. That's why AdultSexToys.com carries over 8,000 different adult products, and new items are being added all the time. Not sure what to buy? Check out their best sellers page. Their recommendations section, which can be found at the top of many of their sex toy categories, or simply use their advanced search function to help you find the ideal sex toy for you or your partner. AdultSexToys.com believes that the world of adult products is best explored in a safe and private and secure setting, your home. What better way to find precisely what you're looking for? And hey, they offer discreet shipping and billing too. Don't miss their hot sales items, where you can score the most popular toys for up to half off. And remember, you never pay sales tax at AdultSexToys.com. Look for their handsome banner in the sidebar of my site and pay them a visit. Be sure to tell them that Dr. Dick sent you. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe, and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.